so this last, I guess, last season, I know we don't like to call them seasons, but these last few months have been some of the hardest for me, and just spiritually, just in a lot of ways. But Sydney asked me to teach a couple of weeks ago, and when he did, and in all honesty, when you kind of get in the, you know, have a tough season, you kind of think, I don't know if I'll do that again. And but when he asked me, I know my face must have looked like, and his words were, "I think it'll be good for you." So we'll see. Here we go. You know, it's this past weekend we were talking about Saturday, and you know, we had Good Friday, and in hindsight, we know Good Friday turned out to be a good thing. But on that Saturday before Resurrection Sunday, those disciples didn't know that. And there's a lot of times, like in this season, there's a lot of uncertainty. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of just things that can come in, and we don't know how it's going to turn out. You know, and if we're not careful, one of the scriptures that I've always loved to quote was 1 John 4:4. And that scripture, most of you guys probably know it, and you'll definitely know it when I say it, but the scripture is, "Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world." But on Saturday, we reverse that. We sit here and we think, he's won. The enemy's greater. And so often these circumstances or these things that happen, if we're not careful, we can get stuck there and say, he's winning. And we forget that God is greater than anything we'll go through. And in this process, it's been, I've had a renewal of that in my mind. I remember, and Robin's not here tonight, but I had a, right after I got saved 16 years ago, I remember Robin handed me this note, and she was notorious for passing out all her notes. And she handed me one, and she said, you know, as you move forward, pray Ephesians 6:10-14 over your family. Pray that. Put on your full armor of God. And that's always stuck with me. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, I still have it. It was written 10/3/2005. And I pull it out periodically and I read it. And at the very bottom, it's, you know, fight for focus and fight for your time with him. Amen. Right? And then she put, read Ephesians 6:10-14. And then just a few months ago, I had another reminder that, you know, to put on that full armor of God and to allow him to help me fight my battles. Because you guys know, we don't fight battles against the guy sitting next to us. I mean, I have before, but our battles as Christians are against those things we can't see. I was reminded, too, that when Anthony and I were on spring break and we had a staycation, because you guys know we have two weddings this year, so, and we have a pool, so we didn't go anywhere spring break. But we were flipping through one day, and it was raining, and things we had recorded or Netflix something, and Karate Kid came on. And he and I sat there and watched it, you know. And as I was thinking about this stuff right here, not being able to see the person we're fighting against most of the time, it reminded me of the lessons that Miyagi taught Danielson. You guys probably, I remember watching it when I was in the 90s. Some of y'all probably weren't born in the 90s, but I was. And I remember watching it in the 90s and thinking, man, this is awesome. And I was in love with Ralph Macchio, right? Everybody was. He was so cute and all. But as I'm watching this movie with Anthony, you know, things I didn't remember from 1990s, I saw again. And in this movie, you have Daniel, who is getting beat up by the bullies and having his lunch handed to him pretty much and taken from him. And so Miyagi comes along and he says, look, I need you to train me. Because Miyagi comes and breaks it up and whips her tails a little bit, you know. And so Daniel says, hey, will you train me? And Miyagi's like kind of reluctant, but he agrees to it finally. And he comes in there and starts to train him. And when he shows up to his house, Mr. Miyagi has a car And what does he say? Wax on, wax off, right? So Daniel finishes that car, and he's like, okay, I'm done. Let's learn some karate. And Miyagi says, no, got all of these too. And there were a bunch of cars, right? And so Daniel's a little frustrated, like, man, I've come here to learn, you know, karate, but I'm going to go home. It's probably going to be a better day tomorrow. You know, I'll come back in the morning, but, you know, ready to learn. Comes in the morning, Miyagi's sitting on his deck, and there's two little paddles there, and Daniel picks them up. Oh, these are bongos, you know. No, they're sanders. And so he starts telling them, sand on, sand off. And he said, oh, okay, I'll finish this spot. He said, no, the whole thing. And it's like a, you know, bunch of decks. So here he is finishing all this. And again, frustrated. Next day he comes back and he's thinking, surely today I'll learn karate. Nope. What does he do? Paint. What is it? Brush up. I forget what he said here. Brush up, brush down. And he had different size boards. One were tall and the next one was kind of short. And he says, tall ones use the right hand. And every time Daniel would start, and either whether he was doing waxing, sanding, or he was doing the painting, Mr. Miyagi would come along every now and then and say, okay, look, you know, he'd get a little sloppy. He'd say, no, this way, right? So finally, and somewhere in this meantime, maybe a lunch break, he showed him how to catch a fly with chopsticks, right? Can you do that, Paul? I envisioned you doing that. But he taught him how to catch a fly out of the air with chopsticks. You know, I'm like, I've got carpenter bees right now, so I'm out there like a mad woman swatting carpenter bees, you know, with nets or whatever. Anyways, I digress. But anyway, he teaches him these lessons. Well, he doesn't really know there's lessons going on. He gets frustrated. You know, dadgummit, I've come over here 3 days in a row. I've done no karate. You know, and basically what's going on? And so, you know, what he didn't know is that Miyagi knew some details. So he gets a little frustrated, and Miyagi starts kind of throwing punches, right? So what does Daniel do? He starts using wax on. So, you know, he starts using those things. And he didn't realize he was learning in that process. And when he gets to that part where he's actually learning that those details he had to pay close attention to were actually helping him to learn to fight, then all of a sudden he understood. We need to understand that sometimes the process we go through is helping us to learn to fight. I don't know the outcome of what may happen with certain situations. I don't know, you know, I don't know things that are going to happen. But he does. He has the details. My part is to wax on, wax off. That make sense? Okay. So, in that, in the midst of those details, Daniel didn't know he was being trained. So we understand. I'm sorry, I'm going through my notes a little bit. But, you know, when we look at, sorry, I'm falling apart up here. When we begin to transition the physical fight in the Karate Kid to how we fight, our spiritual warfare section of the Bible comes from Ephesians 6:10. And as I was reading some stuff this week, I read one scholar say this was the cream of the crop that Paul wrote. The absolute cream of the crop. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, but Ephesians is by far his best book. And he wrote it while he was sitting in a Roman jail. And in that, what he was doing in these first three chapters, he was basically, I'm gonna look at the first three chapters real quick. What he was doing is he was telling us who we are. He was telling me who I am. He was telling us whose we are, who we belong to. It didn't matter if we've had a tough home life. It didn't matter if we've had people walk out on us or betray us or disappoint. He was telling us whose we are and what he'd given us. And he's basically saying in these first three chapters that we are handpicked, we are chosen, we are saved by his grace. We are I don't want to leave anything out. We have been forgiven. We are adopted into His family. We are lavishly bestowed upon in the riches of His grace and mercy. And we have hope in Christ. And in the same time, Paul is sitting here praying that our eyes would be opened. Lord, let them see. Let them see what You see, Lord. I need to be able to see with the Lord's eyes most of the time. Because you guys know TJ has those trick cards. Have y'all ever seen TJ use those cards? He's got a red and a blue card, and he'll say, which one's the longest? And if you hold up the long side to the short side, one of them will look bigger. And he'll do that two or three times. He'll pass them back and forth through there. And you'll see that these things, one looks bigger. And then he'll put them together, and the people realize they're the same size. But our eyes deceive us. And, of course, if he's talking to a little teenager, you know, girl or boy, he'll say, no, they might look pretty, but don't let them deceive you, you know. And that's a good message for all of us. It may look good, but is it good for us? Does it keep us where we need to be? So he prays this, and he says, we have a hope in Him, and the arm of God is not too short to come in and pluck us out of whatever we are in. I needed to hear that these last few months. I needed to know that I could put on this armor and I could fight. Because things that we face from time to time are not, I can't go up and deck people. Even though I'd like to, right? Sometimes we all have those, maybe it's just me. But we have these people that are irritating or that we feel like are not getting it or we have to work with or whatever, that we just like to wring their necks. But we can't do that because we have this thing that we can use to fight. Our battle is not against that person. Typically, they're going through something. Or typically, it could be me. Maybe I'm lacking something. I'm lacking a peace. I'm lacking hope. I'm lacking something that He can give me if I can put on this armor. And what He does is when He reaches down into that place we are, He can remove that darkness and place us into this marvelous light. And you guys know what happens when light hits something. Right? His light especially hits something. So, those first three chapters, are they not awesome in how He tells us who we are and whose we are? He has claimed us. And He's told us we have all these riches in Him. So, you know, He champions us despite hurt, despite fear, despite betrayal, disappointment, whatever it may be. You know, if you guys, and I know we all have in here, but at some point we've all had that, like that gut punch. You know, it's from maybe from loss, maybe from somebody did you wrong. You know, we've all had that happen to us at some point. And When we're there, I think for me, you know, it sometimes those things can look insurmountable. They can look like, man, this is going nowhere good. This is too hard. We go to that natural place, but what happens is God comes in and said, is anything too hard for me? And we can either hang our head on that and we can do our part, or we can say, we can walk off and think, you know, whatever. So this scripture I began to read, and I probably, these last few months, I mean, I felt like I was doing okay for the last couple of years before, you know, this little season hit. But God showed me there's still more. And there's still process, and there's still deeper levels, and there's still, and His deeper level is not in knowing who He is to a certain degree, but it's trusting who He is. Because I know, but He's brought me to a place of trust. And so I was listening to Bill Johnson, and he quoted this. He said, how can we build a faith that stands on the shoulders of quiet trust? How can we build a faith that stands on the shoulders of quiet trust? Because there's some things we face that we've never faced before. And in those moments when we find things that we've never faced before, we don't really have a baseline to figure it out or understand. And that's where our faith and our trust comes in. And in this place, he says, it's a trust that is an anchor to our soul that says, no matter what the circumstances are, I have the opportunity to trust him. I get to choose. You know, and if I get to choose, I can either trust him, know his goodness, know he hasn't forgotten, and I may emphatically declare and remind him what he said or what he's spoken, but I have that choice. And in that, I know he's good. And in that, I know where my confidence can come from. It's not a fly by the seat of my pants. It's a deep, deep trust. And that's where he's been moving me. Because there's some things that only come out through prayer and fasting. There's some things that only he can handle. As much as I want to handle it, and as much as I want to help him, as much as I might want to wrangle somebody, that's not the answer. He is. I have to choose that. In Scripture, I'm going to go, Cindy may not have it up, but it's Mark 11. And this is the fig tree. And Jesus walks by and curses it, right? Because it doesn't have any fruit on it. He's hungry. So it doesn't have any fruit on it. And then he comes back the next day, and the disciples comment. You know, the disciples comment on it. And I'm just going to read it to you right here. It says, "For assuredly I say to you," let me back up. Sorry. So what he's saying to them, that fig tree is not producing fruit, but I expect the impossible. You think, wow, that's kind of harsh. Why are you expecting the impossible? Well, duh, he's God, right? But the main reason is when we said yes to him, what did he do? He now lives inside of us. We have that same resurrecting power. We have that same power and authority that he gave everyone else. Okay? Now, we get to choose. Do we walk in it? Do we produce even though it's a tough season? Can we produce even though it's out of season? Because to him, there's no out of season, right? Okay, there's no out of season. So, let me back up a little bit here. What he's saying is, in this, he says, Mark 11:22, it says, Jesus says, have faith in God. And what Bill Johnson said is in this, that translates to, have the faith of God. There's a difference. I have faith in God. Right? Most of us say, oh, I put my hope and my trust and my faith in God. We'd all stand up here and say that right now. But can we all stand here and say we have the faith of God? It's a tough question. What have you been asking me? It almost sounds, you know, like we're blasphemous, but that what happened on Sunday morning when he rose tells me I have that power. It's up to me to use it. It's up to me to control, to walk in that power. So Mark 11:23-24 says, "For assuredly I say to you, whoever says this mountain be removed and be cast into the sea and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them." That's where my faith has to be right now. I have to believe that things I'm asking for, I can have. I have to know what he thinks, and I have to believe that I can call that my faith of God so that I can have what I'm asking for. Right now, I have to have that. Because with Him, in that kind of faith, when I have the faith of God, the impossible becomes possible. And I'm going to tell you, when I can speak boldly and I can declare and I can call things out and I can make them obedient to Him and what His promises are, and I can become that surrendered believer, I think he's attracted to that. I think He's welcomed into that spot, and He says, I can move in a heart like this. So I want the faith of God. Yes, mine still wavers because I'm obviously not Him. But I'm trying to return quickly to having that kind of faith. I'm trying to return quickly when I do get off to having that kind of faith. I need that, because it doesn't matter if I've walked away from promises, if others have walked away from things, it doesn't matter if there's been dirt piled in wells. With that faith, the believing, nothing is impossible with Him. Nothing is too hard for Him. It can happen. I need that. We all need that. We all need to know that our Father is for us, not against us. That He doesn't leave us or forsake us. He doesn't. He is love. And I need to know that. I need to know that He's working on my behalf. So when we take on that mind, suddenly that 1 John 4:4 can shift. I can now say, greater is He in me than he that's in the world. And I can believe that. I have something to work with at that point. So as I embrace that resurrection power, we've talked about that a little bit over the last couple of days with it being Easter weekend, my mind can become transformed. Now things I thought now surpass and go into that next level. Because I'm going to tell you, this is the next level for me. Having faith in God instead of trying to have the faith of God is different. You know, you run out here on the street and say, oh, I've got the faith of God. Really. But I'm telling you, I'm trying to have enough devotion to be in Him. Because all these things are available in Him. Because in my natural, I can't do it. I can't do it. I don't have the authority and the power to break strongholds, to break these things that are attacking. I don't have that in my power, because some things I can't see. They're unseen. And when those things attach, I can't physically go and pull them off. I have to be able to pray to my Lord that and say, nothing is impossible with you. Nothing is too hard for you. I have to believe that He can breathe life into dry bones. I have to believe spring up, O wells. I have to believe His promises are not dead. You know, one of the commentaries I read over the last, I don't know, few weeks, months, they kind of run together, because I have really tried to immerse myself in Him. And I want to be that kind of like Mary. When the angel, not even God, but when the angel came and said, you're going to have a baby. And she hasn't even been with a man. And her response, let it be according to your word. I need let it be according to your word. So I've had to try to stop helping God with outcomes. I'm sure none of y'all do that. Or having a vision of how it's going to look. I've had to just trust and try to have the faith of God that can say nothing is impossible to those who believe. If we don't doubt, that mountain can be moved. those thorns can be torn away and new growth come. There's nothing out of the reach of Him. Nothing. So, you know, you guys, I'm as a coach, I'm sure I'll come back to a, it's not hard for me to come back to a coaching analogy, but obviously through the years, part of my coaching has been that somebody has to lose, but it doesn't have to be me. And now that's just as true spiritually. But here's the thing, when I coach, I have an opportunity to lose, but when I'm in Him and of Him, He's already won. You know, He's already won. But, you know, how do we prepare for opponents? A lot of people say, oh, you need to prepare for your opponent. And I agree. I need to know. I go scout games. I know what they're going to do. I used to know that Ariel, you know, expected me to throw her outside, so I'd bust a fastball in on her every now and then and surprise her. I knew that. You know. I know those things, but what I have to understand is, and what I've always told my team, is take care of you. Take care of your job. Take care of your fundamentals. And if they beat you, they beat you because you did things right. And, you know, so for us, we have Ephesians 6, and Paul's in prison writing this thing. And just kind of imagine Paul sitting, you know, I'm sure on a hard brick floor, probably shackled. But his hand's free, and he's sitting there over a piece of paper, and he's writing these letters. He's writing these letters. He's pouring his heart out to people he loves, to people he wants to see make it. And outside his door is a Roman guard. And so as he looks at those pieces of armor that Roman guard has, he starts describing those. But he doesn't describe them in a way that like that Roman guard would fight physically in them. He helps us understand how they can apply to us spiritually. This is our first take on spiritual warfare. And, all right, Cindy, you want to pull that up? Ephesians 6. I don't know if I can see my Bible after I've been snot crying. Go to 6:10, yeah. Go there. But a final word. You know, He's told us how loved we are. He's told us whose we are. He's told us that we're in Him, that we have all these things. We're lavishly and abundantly blessed. And then He says, finally, let me tell you how you make it. Okay? Let me tell you how you make it. Be strong with the Lord's mighty power. You know? Again, I want to go hit things. I want to go take things in my hands and fix them. I want it done in my timing. I want things done. So I'm willing to help God, just, you know. And sometimes He's like, just be quiet and trust me. Whew, that's hard. That is so hard. Be quiet and trust me. So hard. But He says, I can't fight things in my might. I need the strength of His. He's basically saying, what you've been doing ain't working. Why don't you try my way? Try me. Try me. Let's try this. Let's fight like this. Go ahead. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against the strategies and tricks of the devil. For we are not fighting against people of flesh and blood, but against the evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against those mighty powers of darkness who rule this world, and against wicked spirits in heavenly realms. I can't fight those. I can't do it. I would love to. I would love to have Leo and Paul come with me, and we'd just take them out in one fell swoop. But I can't fight like that. And He's saying, what you've been doing is not working. Have my faith. Have my faith. Trust me. That's hard. Go ahead, Cindy. Use every piece of God's armor to resist the enemy in the time of evil, so that after the battle you will be standing firm. That's our hope, isn't it? That we're going to battle, and we're going to battle, and at the end we're still standing. Every physical fight I ever got in, that was my hope. I'm still standing, baby. Come on back. Right? I'm still standing. I'm still standing. And then after he says stand firm, you hear the word stand again. Because those blows are coming, but we got to continue to stand. Go ahead, Cindy. Stand your ground, putting on the sturdy belt of truth and the body of armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In every battle, you will need faith as your shield to stop the fiery arrows aimed at you by Satan. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So let's talk about each of these just a little bit. Here's the thing, when we're trying to fight in our own power, he gets to influence much of what will traumatize me. He gets to influence my fear. He gets to influence my doubts. He gets to influence my disappointment. He gets to influence whether or not I run and withdraw. I've withdrawn. The enemy can win when I try to fight my own power. Because some things you have to fight in God, with God. Because nothing's too hard for Him. And if we're not careful when He comes, and we know the Word says, not if, when. When it comes, when that suddenly happens, or when that gut punch happens, when that comes, we become frustrated. You know? And we get angry, we get hurt, we get disappointed, we feel betrayed, you fill in the line. We've been there. And in that moment, we feel like we're not good enough. We feel like we can't do it. We may feel shame, condemnation. All of those things can happen. They're real. Anxiety. It happens. And that's just Him at work. It's Him at work. Sometimes it's not things we caused, but yet sometimes it's our complacency. Because maybe what I'm seeing, He's not revealing the whole picture of what's really happening. Oh, I'm good. Okay. And so maybe we, and I won't throw a we out there. You know, I back off a little bit. I don't put on my armor every day. And when I don't put on that armor every day, I give that enemy the opportunity to come in. I remember, don't judge me on this either, but when I was growing up, my granddaddy used to love wrestling, you know, watch wrestling, you know, and back in the day it was you had, you know, Mr. Wrestling number one and two and, you know, Abdul the Butcher and Andre the Giant, you had all, you know, I was a fan, I'm sorry. But I loved it because my granddaddy loved it. It was a way I could spend time with him. You know, I watched Alabama football with my daddy, but wrestling was me and Pawpaw. And to the point that we were so fanatical that we would go down to the West Georgia Fairgrounds and watch it every Saturday night. You know, and they had this lady, they called her Granny, and she'd get down there right on the ring ropes, and she'd be hollering at those guys, you know. And I got to see Nature Boy Ric Flair, you know, and all this. I mean, it was Dusty Rhodes, all these guys, right? So when Eric J. was born, and Terry J. was just as big a fan as me, you know. So when Eric J. was born, it was natural for us to watch WWE, right? Now, remember, we weren't saved. No, I'm just kidding. We weren't. But, you know, and Eric J. loved it. He loved to watch it on TV. He would get there in front of the TV, and he would watch. You know, then it was like Randy Savage and Goldberg and, you know, all these people. I don't remember all them as much as I do the ones I watched. But, you know, so I thought, well, let's just take him. Let's take him to see it, right? Take him over to watch wrestling. I guess it was the Omni back then. And so we went over there, and you guys know when we didn't have really good seats, so we were up a little ways, and he got to watching it, and I kind of saw this look on his face, you know. I said, "What's going on, buddy?" He said, "Mama." He said, "I don't think they're really hitting each other." And they weren't. You know, it was like, you know, they weren't hitting each other, because when I hit people, it would hurt, or if I got hit, it would hurt. You know, they weren't hitting each other, and he saw the unseen that he didn't get to see on TV, because those TV angles makes it look like somebody's getting decked, you know. And so when he saw that, he was like done. It's like done. I don't think he ever watched it again. I mean, he was literally like done. But he would spend a lot of his time beforehand believing what he saw. But when he saw it wasn't real, he was done. And I think for us, we need somebody to show us some things aren't real. That enemy can roar, but he ain't real. Oh, he is real, but I got something better. I got something I can fight with when I am in God and I have his faith. I can fight. And you know, and so often this is me. But there's a lot of things that we feel like are okay, but there's something at work behind the scenes. And when you go to wrestling and you see it from up here, you see it's not as real as you think. And I'm not discounting the enemy, because he is real. He does come to kill, steal, and destroy. He does. I'm not discounting that at all. But what I'm trying to say is I'm trying to build a trust that's deep enough for me to fight in him. So these things right here, they help. I'm sorry, I digress. I'm running some rabbits. I got a few more minutes. I'm going to try to finish this up. But this is just kind of where I've been the last few months, and you know, let me look at my notes real quick. One thing that's truly blessed me the last couple of weeks, I had nursery a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was the spring break week, so we didn't have any kids here at all, and didn't have any babies, so I was able to go upstairs with the Tiffany's class, and I went up there, and they were watching War Room. They were watching War Room. And I don't know if y'all have ever seen it or not. If you haven't, you should. But it's, you know, an older lady showing a younger lady how to fight for her marriage. You know, and I think of the time when I thought I would be divorced, and all I wanted to do was deck my husband. Pray for me. But I wanted him to know how I felt. And in War Room, she never did that. She fought what she was seeing like this. And it so impresses me. They did prayer boards. You know, Anthony talked about it. He's gotten a journal he's writing in. He's got a prayer board with pictures that's there. Things he wants to be praying for. He's 11. And I'm still trying to understand this at a little older than that. I want him to have that trust. I appreciate you doing that, you and Ariel. I appreciate that. Because I want him to have more than I had. I want him to go further than I can. I want him to know when things happen, he can have the faith of God that anything is possible for those who believe. I want him to have that. It's taken me a long time. And I want him to have that. And it starts with putting this on. I'm hurrying, I promise. I'm trying to hurry. Y'all give me about, I'll be like Sydney, give me 5 more minutes. Got plenty of time, 5 to you. Sorry, Sydney, I love you. But he talks about these 6 pieces right here. You know, to gird our loins with truth, to put on the breastplate of righteousness, to shod our feet to move forward in peace. To me, that's one that I've had to really grab hold on. I've had to put one foot in front of the other in peace, knowing that I can trust him. I've had to hold that shield of faith. Because after that gut punch, the enemy doesn't quit. He keeps coming. And I've had to put that shield of faith up. And I've had to put that helmet on to protect my mind to not believe the lies so that strongholds couldn't take root. But the one thing, and I remember doing this study from Priscilla Shire a long time ago called The Armor of God. Did any of y'all ever do that? But one of the things she talked about was these pieces. But then after that, the Roman soldier, they were there to protect him. But for us as believers, what activates that armor in this supernatural realm is our prayer. Our prayer. And through the years, my prayer life can go up and down, ebb and flow. What I think what he's showing me in this deeper level of trust is that can't happen. That can't happen. I've got to be willing to say, not today, Satan. You have no place. And I'm going to use this boot of peace, and I'm going to step on your head. I'm going to put my foot on your throat. And I can get that righteous indignation to boil up pretty quick. That's not a stretch for me. But I've usually done it without him. And I haven't been able to do it with the word. Because it's like when things happen, it's like, okay, what was that scripture? And now I'm trying my best to have the faith of God. And really, the only one I need right now is nothing is too hard. Nothing is impossible with you. So that prayer can activate that armor. And I'll tell you another one that he's had me in. And we hear it a lot, especially around election time. But another one he's had me in is, I think I'll get it right. It's 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people will humble themselves and pray, I promise, he gives us his promise to come and invade that prayer. And a lot of times when you get that gut punch, a lot of them are humbling. They're humbling. That we will hear from heaven. God, I want to hear from heaven. I can't imagine being the disciples on Saturday and not knowing the outcome. Thank goodness I know the outcome. So we have to create that space, you know, and I think y'all have heard me talk a little bit about our pool, and it sits in the middle of the city of Carrollton, but it's kind of intimate back there, and we've created a space that I can step away into that allows me to get back there and realign a little bit. And, you know, because I don't want to come in here. I come in here and I get fed. But I can't rely on that. And there's times that I have, but that doesn't help my build my trust to a place that anchors my soul. And I need a trust that can anchor my soul, because we're all going to face those things that are hard. We're all going to face those things that are tough. And without that hope and that trust that anchors our soul, it's hard. It's hard, you know. And I just went through about 7 pages of notes. This is where I've been the last few months. So it's kind of, I mean, I got sticky notes. I've even written on the back here. But, you know, if we don't put on that, and I guess what I've learned too through this is I can't fight the enemy, but yet if I don't have this armor on, and especially like that breastplate of righteousness, if I can't operate in his thoughts and his ways, and I think that's one of the things that he's really showing me is how to do that differently, is how to love better, love deeper, fiercely love, and not just give it lip service, but to fiercely love. And to honor people, I think those are things he's really changing in me. Because I've always been kind of a nice person, but I really want to try to honor people. I want to fiercely love and protect. You know, us mamas understand mama bear, right? But he's showing me that people are worth that, you know, because he loves them too. And so, you know, we all have that one that can get on our nerves, that one that, you know, again, I keep referring to those things, but you know, he's really taking me to a deeper level of showing me it's really not all about me. And we hear this all the time, that we have what others need. And he's really, you know, I can do well in my little circle, but he's really challenged me to kind of step out. And that took a while after the gut punch. But he's really challenged me to do that. And, you know, I think for me, you know, I want to make him proud. I don't want it to be about me. I want it to be about him. And, you know, but part of me doing that is protecting my heart. Because there have been times that I can see something or hear something, and immediately I can go and put my 2 cents on it. And the Lord's really challenging me to guard my heart and to love his people better. And to know that people are hurting. And in that, I can go deeper and build that trust that he's so truly desiring in me. So, I guess to kind of wrap it up, you know, what are we allowing to influence us? That was the question you've been asking me. What are we allowing to influence us? What have we stopped contending for? What have we stopped contending for? What are those promises that we have? What are those things that we know are there that we stopped contending for? Those promises that he spoke and those deposits he's made, they're still there. But at some point we stopped contending for ourselves. We may have stopped contending for others. What have we stopped contending for? These are things he's really asked me. He's not mad at me. He's not mad at me. He's not shaming me. But what he needed me to do is bring it to him and surrender. And I guess what I've had to learn to do is declare who I am and whose I am. And contend from that place of trust. And I've had to know who he is. And when we can contend from that place of trust, where we built that trust, we can anchor. And I've learned in that surrender, is I've got to dress for that battle. I've got to be able to fight with that, his word. I've got to be able to extend that shield of faith. I've got to put on that righteousness. Gird my loins. And in that place, I can move forward with those shoes in peace. And it's still a work in progress for me. But I'm committed to it. The stakes are too high not to be. So I want to leave you with this last scripture. I promise I'm done with this. 2 Corinthians 4. We have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but I'm not crushed. Perplexed. Might not understand, but I'm not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's the hope we have in Him. That's the hope we have in Him. And that's what I'm trying to stand on. Father, we thank You. I thank You for the opportunity tonight to share my heart. I thank You for their pastor that will still believe in me, Father. Father, I just pray that as we contend for those things, Father, that we'll just build such a place of trust that it anchors our soul. Father, I just pray that as we put on this armor that You will just allow our prayers to activate it, Father, that we'll surrender to that, Father, and You'll just invade those prayers, Father, and that You'll just move on our behalf. Because nothing's too hard for You, the Lord. And I just pray, Father, that we can just go out and show the world who You are. Because it needs it, Father. We just pray for strongholds to be broken, for delusions to fall. We just love You, Father. I thank You for that. I thank You for Your faith, Father. For Your hope. And for Your peace that You left us. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.